This is the Don and Mike Show.
My dad was a circus freak, but my mom don't remember which one. I like to think it was a little bit of all of them.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Well, hi, everybody.
Caution. Retards in area.
Well.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, no.
Well, that's it for now.
And that's it, folks.
That's it. Now, we're going to do a segment called Where Are They Now?
Where Are They Now?
But first, intruding just a little bit because she can't leave well enough alone. Here's my smart girlfriend, Janet. Hey, Jan.
Hi there.
Hi, sweetie. Now, I was talking to her during the break, and she mentioned that she happened to be in the automobile, happened to catch the beginning of the show.
Huh. Heard the whole thing about the talking about her a little bit.
Conversation about the Queen, right. And she is here to tell everybody that she believes she is still right. Really?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jan.
See, now you're putting me in an unfair advantage.
Well, good then. That's good for you if I've put you in an unfair advantage.
To win.
No.
Do you mean an unfair disadvantage?
Thank you.
No,
what I said was accurate because I was having lunch with two people that I work with at the company that I work with.
Yes.
And
were they British?
No, but one of them has lived in Spain, and they said that England has the same type of monarchy as Spain does.
Honey.
And they said a very similar, because I brought it up that you were calling me Mary Poppins this morning and you call me Gidget when I do silly things like that. And when I was explaining to them my thought process, the one lady who has lived abroad said you're actually pretty on track with that because a very similar thing happened in Spain.
Jan, listen. Where
Tony Blair. What?
Tony Blair what? Go ahead, Tony Blair.
She was explaining it to me, and I really wasn't paying attention because I didn't realize you were going to call me out on this.
Well, no, you called me out on it off the air. In real life, you said to me, hey, incidentally, I heard you talking about that. And I talked to some friends of mine today, and they say that, listen, here's what Janet said, if you're just tuning in. She said to me today, oh, I know why Britain's pulling out of Iraq. And I said, why? And she said, because Queen Elizabeth ordered Tony Blair to pull the troops out of Iraq so Harry wouldn't be put in danger. And I said to her, woman, are you serious?
You're
daft that the Queen don't make any decisions about what goes on in England.
Now, get ready to hear me roar.
All right.
If you'll recall, on real news stations, not like the tabloid news stations, as we were watching real news stations this weekend,
yes,
they mentioned that the only person that can stop this is the Queen herself because she is in charge.
The only person that can stop what?
Harry going to Iraq is the Queen herself because they themselves, it wasn't my idea, they're the ones that said she is the commander-in-chief of the military.
I think it might be. I think you might be partially right. I think she could prevent anybody from going overseas.
Mike, thank you. This was thanks, Mike. I don't mean to jump in here.
Okay.
But this was the crux of my argument with Janet this morning.
She could probably say, you know, I'm the queen, you get a royal pardon or something like that.
Jan, did I say that to you this morning? Did I say the hole in your argument was not that I, your hole, the hole was not the fact that she maybe could call up and say, don't send my boy to Iraq, but that she would cancel the entire war.
Just because
Prince Harry was going to go over there.
They probably have been looking for a way to get out of that mess. And what?
Please don't tell me you really think this. Please, this is like.
Well, we can clear this up with a phone call. We're here in Washington D.C. Why doesn't somebody call the British Embassy?
Because Mike, we're so right about this.
Well, but we're right, but we're not right with any detail.
Buzz.
Four years ago.
Hold on. Clarify.
Hold on, Jen.
Trying to clarify.
Hold on.
Who's the one that lived in Spain? And she was very clear on this. And that's what I'm saying. At lunch, I didn't realize.
So now we're listening to a Spaniard.
Take mental notes about the whole reasoning why she agreed with what I was saying, because I didn't realize we were going to talk about this this afternoon.
All right, sweetie.
4 years ago, the veil of mystery surrounding the royal prerogative was lifted. That prerogative includes the power to declare war, handed from monarchs to ministers, and allows them to take action without the backing of Parliament.
But you said the veil was lifted. Does that mean that they now put it out in the open that this is the way it works?
As of 4 years ago.
Repeat what you just said then.
All right. The veil of mystery surrounding the royal prerogative was lifted 4 years ago when a list was published to encourage greater transparency in British government. The prerogative, which includes the power to declare war, is handed from monarchs to ministers and allows them to take action without the backing of Parliament.
So are you saying my girlfriend is right about this?
She's right.
It certainly sounds that way.
Buzz.
Thanks. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Buzz.
Sorry. Buzz, you get a special kiss the next time I see you. Right. Thank you. You are the true newsman that you showed
yourself today. Bye, Mary Poppins. Bye. You're still so wrong about that. You're still so wrong that she's calling off the war, sweetie, because just to get one guy from going to the front line.
But, Jesus. Well, hold on, though.
It's time.
I mean, if he's saying that the royal prerogative, if the royal prerogative means she can declare war, then she can also end a war.
That's right.
Or end the British participation with, and she can do that without permission of Parliament.
That's what it says here. Yes.
I don't believe that. You mean to tell me that some old
Spain is set up the same way? Because something similar happened in Spain, and the monarch in charge of Spain said, "Get out," and they got out.
You mean of Iran? Because they were in Iran.
I don't know if it was Iran. It was a different situation.
I'm sorry, Iraq. I misspoke. Iraq.
Same difference.
Right. I don't know. I don't think it was Iraq, but I know that because she was very clear on it, because I believe when it happened, she spent a lot of time living in Spain, and that's why when I said that, she's like, you know, you're right.
Okay. Maybe I stand by the fact that you're not right.
I'm smarter than
I still would like more clarification.
I preface this by saying I think you're a very smart woman. I just couldn't believe that you were saying that.
But I also think that is not a prerogative that is used in the real world, and it's not used in present day England. I don't think monarchs in present times neither declare war nor pull us out of wars. I don't think that happens. I don't think that's realistic anymore.
Give me one chance to ask her one question in front of everybody.
What?
Even if you're right about this technical issue, do you really still think that the Queen called Tony Blair and said, because Harry wants to go to the front, take the entire British army out of Iraq? Is that what you really think?
I think that she didn't want her grandson going to war, she has enough.
Janet, will you please give me a yes or no on that?
I'm explaining that.
No.
Jan? I think they were probably looking for a reason to get it out, and everything blended and melted together.
Jan.
You know what? Tony Blair probably said, you know, everyone who is the powers to be to make these decisions got together, and I think...
Well, Tony Blair has already come out and given his reasons
Jan.
All the way around.
Jan. Well, you know what? Now she's like nonstop talking.
I'm sorry. Janet?
I'll stop.
So am I.
Janet, I think Tony Blair has already come out and given his reasons for the British pullout, and they did not involve anything to do with Harry or the Queen.
Of course they're not going to do that, because he even said that he did not want to be singled out, and he didn't want to be given...
Hold on, Janet.
I'm sure that he's very unhappy about this, because he even said he did not want to be given...
This is my girlfriend, everybody. You believe that the British pulled out of Iraq today because the Queen ordered Tony Blair to because she didn't want Harry to get hurt?
Yes.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. You think that?
Okay, fine.
Hold on, honey.
Bye, Ben.
Hold on.
I hope you cough up a hairball.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, Lordy.
All right, sweetie. Well, stick by your guns. Stand by your man. Stick by your guns.
And Janet, absolutely. I really would welcome like more information on this if you come by it. You know,
I will send when I get back to my computer. I will send my friend an email and see if she can forward the information on.
All right, sweetie. Good enough. I'll see you tonight.
And then you'll have it in writing from a different source.
Okay. Spain.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye.
I'll see you tonight. All right. Bye, honey.
Okay, bye.
Bye, bye friend. There she is.
We are going to get a workout with that Tom Hanks sound effect. That is getting better every day.
I was just trying to set her up just to say,
I know.
Do you think? Because that's really what she thinks.
Yeah. She does.
I know she does. I know she does. She thinks the Queen ordered them out of Iraq because of Harry.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Let me see.
Boy, I hope we get more info on that.
I'm sure we will. Oh, it's time for Where Are They Now?
Mm-hmm.
Ah. And here's today's Where Are They Now setup. An email we received. Dear Don and Mike, hi, my name is Matt, and I owe you $100. Huh. Here are the facts. I've been a faithful listener of the Don and Mike Show for 13 years. In 1994, I won $100 during an on-air contest in which listeners phoned in their best story about a body part of the day. My story is simply kicked ass, and I won $100. I used to listen from work in Sacramento. At that time, I won my prize. I was slightly underage, and I was high on drugs. As part of a 12-step program I'm now participating in, I must make amends to the people I have hurt. And any ill-regotten rewards I have been privy to, I must return. That is why I'm writing this email. My sponsor is a total dick. To complete this step, I need to know how to pay you back. Please let me know. I now live in Portland, Oregon.
It's a good sponsor.
Here
it's a
is.
Good sponsor making him go all the way
Here
with it.
Matt. Hello, Matt.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Hello, friend. Well, we received your missive. You're on the 12-step program.
Matt, are you supposed to say that about your sponsor? Isn't that normally a bad idea, or is it just what they do out in Sacramento rehab?
He's actually I'm in Portland now, but the guy has got this airtight interpretation of the rules and the values.
That's right.
And so there's no getting around that for me.
All right, so let me see. Way back in 1994, you won $100.
Wow.
And you lied. Sir. And what would you like to say to Mike and I? Or Mike and me, excuse me.
I'd like to just beg forgiveness, I guess, from the radio gods.
I say no.
I'm afraid I have to agree with you. No, you're not forgiven. That's inexcusable.
Back to the pipe.
Yeah, there's just no way we can forgive you for that. With inflation, it's well really, over 100. We are still so hurt by any listener, not only lying to us, but then collecting our money. Borders on criminal.
Go tell your sponsor that.
Wonder what the statute of limitation is on that.
Do you want to know what I did with the money?
I'd like to know what was your drug of choice?
Some pot and some cocaine.
Uh-huh. Pot and cocaine. What did you do with the money?
I bought a tremendous bag of ganja.
A nice bag of weed.
But marijuana after lying to us.
Yeah.
What do they say in that program that you're supposed to apologize and ask for the return the money and then it makes it all better?
That's a lie.
Oh, my goodness.
Tell your sponsor we said to pound sand.
Yeah. There's no way that we forgive you. See what Airtight does with that.
Forever. Bye.
Take care.
I'm going to go get high now.
Bye-bye.
See what
bye!
See what you've done.
Hey, as Don will tell you, right is right.
And it's time for a double dose of Where Are They Now?
Very good.
Also joining us, back from nearly qualifying for the Daytona 500, Here is James Hilton. Remember, we had this gentleman on the show about 3 weeks ago.
James, everybody was pulling for you. You almost did it, too, didn't you?
Well, I tell you what, we got so close. And it broke my heart there. That caution came out at about 5 laps to go or whatever it was and took my chance away. But I feel bad about all the people that were pulling for me. I was sure at that point that I was going to be in the show, and then I feel like I let the people down.
Well, you really shouldn't, because really you were a great story. Everybody dug it, really.
I'm sure you're aware of this, but while you were racing, while you were qualifying for the Daytona 500, we had someone call and in my mind jinx you, because they called and said they were watching it on Speed Channel, and that with 5 or 7 laps to go, you had the last spot locked up, and we weren't watching it, so we immediately thought, very cool. And as it turns out, I think
didn't know there was a caution in his qualifier. I didn't know that happened.
Didn't I read that like going into the third or fourth turn that you What happened, James? It wasn't that you didn't punch it when you shouldn't have punched it, and you backed off instead of being aggressive, or
what happened?
What happened?
No, really, I had clutch problems from the start of the race, and got half lap back, got a caution, and made a pit stop, and on the clutch caused me to get out of my pit lane there, and they penalized me a lap, one lap down.
Oh boy!
And then things worked out where I got the lap back, got back on the lead lap, and then by the strategy from my car chief, crew chief James Hilton Jr., who happens to be my son.
There you go.
Told me to stay out there, Dad, and I did, and wound up running second. And then I got locked in real good, running eighth, and I was the eighth car in line, had a car behind me, and we were there. And then on the restart, with that clutch problem I had, I couldn't speed shift to get. They'd pull me about two car lengths on the start, and then the cat that was behind me abandoned me, hung me out to dry. And I know you heard about the freight train. The freight train lined up.
Yeah, everybody went by you.
Yeah, everybody went by you.
You know, is there a chance you're going to do it next year?
I'm not done yet.
I like small races this year.
I love that.
The reason that everybody is so fascinated with James and with Jim is the fact that he's over 70 years old. He's out there driving these cars at incredible speeds. What was the top speed you got at during your qualifying for the Daytona?
Well, I was down in practice session, and we were running 185.4, and then qualifying, was a little off, and we run 179, I believe, qualifying, which got us into the 150. But the draft makes all the difference in the world, and once I got in the draft, I was good.
And you are headed to Talladega next, correct?
Right. My next race is in April at Talladega. And the Rebel rides again, because I'm gonna get them back. They will not be freight training me anymore.
Oh, that's the right attitude. I love you still got the eye of the tiger. That's fantastic.
James was trying to get together with you before Talladega, and we wish you good luck. And do you still have your sponsor? Do you want to plug your sponsor?
Yes, it's your J.C. Weaver, and living retirement living. TV people.
Oh, so they got that. Is that a new sponsor for you, Retirement Living? Did they pick up on that, or were they with you all along?
They were on the car.
No, they came on board at Daytona.
That's good.
That really made the difference. Let us run first class, and it showed.
All right, good stuff.
There he is, everybody. James Hilton, almost qualified for the Daytona. Yeah. Rob Spiewak, who is the gearhead of our group, says that you should drive an automatic next time.
Well, not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea. And we're going to be following you really closely, James, and we appreciate you calling us.
Thank you very much for having me on the program. Hey. And I thank all the seniors out there and all the people, even the little, after qualifying, little kiddies out there, 4 or 5 years old wanting autographs. So I really had a lot of people pulling for me.
Jim, if I could ask you one last question that has nothing to do with racing.
Okay.
You know how the government of Britain is set up? Hold on. This is a serious question. Do you believe that the Queen of England has the power to control the British Army?
Yeah, I'd say so.
All right. Everybody's agreeing with your girlfriend.
Get her done.
That's it.
Right. Thank you, Jim.
Get her done, James.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. What the hell was that, Jim?
It's kind of a laugh.
I think he's gone. Is he okay?
He's gone.
What the hell was that at the end there?
That was a weird.
And then your reaction. That's we need. We don't do replay. Are we replay capable on this show?
There it is.
Something there.
His thing made me laugh.
There was something there at the very, very end, and I'm not sure exactly what it was.
All right. Well, thank you, James Hilton. Thank you to the 12-step guy, and thank you to Jan, who I guess. And thanks, Buzz. Thanks for helping me out on that.
Hold
Buzz.
On a second. Now, listen, think we need more information on
all right,
that.
Really
what's going to happen is you're going to find out that practically, and with practicality, that doesn't happen. She doesn't say, excuse me, Tony,
I really don't care for America. Send a warship over to Boston Harbor.
Aren't they 100% like the family on Dynasty or the Ewings?
No.
Aren't they 100%?
No, not quite. They're from a procedural standpoint, there's a lot of stuff they still have to do.
Yeah, for a bill to become law, the Queen has to agree to it or give assent, as they say over there.
Give assent?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's still, you know what it is? It's like she can still be a pain in the ass. Like if she starts to lose it.
Right.
She could probably screw things
up a
little.
She could be trouble, yeah. She's got that much power.
Well, then, gosh, if you're listening, Janet, you know, what can I say? Poison my food tonight. I was 100% wrong. Jesus Christ.
And, you know, as soon as James Hilton agreed,
uh-huh. That's sealed.
And then he went,
I
hope he's all right at the end.
I think he's fine. I think he was laughing.
Right? I was walking around the kitchen to my girlfriend saying, I can't believe this is your chosen field and that you don't know this. I'm a stupid disc jockey, but even I know that. She looked at me and said, I am dead serious.
Yeah, she is.
Well, but they're not going to come out and say that the British pulled out of Iraq because of the Queen and Prince Harry. That's not going to happen.
They won't say that ever.
They won't, because that's
still funny.
Funny. They won't say that because that's a funny concept.
That's why James Hilton was laughing at us.
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. This is the news. Welcome.
Welcome.
Hi, Johnny.
Johnny.
Well, hi, everybody.
That was the Queen of England.
We'll be back, Mike.
This is the Don and Mike Show.